Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, gents. How are you doing this morning?
We're awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Charles, the L.A. Chargers take Joe Alt at number 5. New York goes with Malik Nabers at number 6, which makes the draft board for the Titans end up with J.C. Latham at pick number 7, tackle out of Alabama. First off, what did you make of the Chargers? I guess the smoke around offensive line being a real thing and them going with Joe Alt. And what did you make of the Titans selection of J.C. Latham?
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess Jim Harbaugh tells the truth.
Kind of.
I mean, it's you definitely heard. What was interesting to me was in the probably 48 hours prior to the pick, there were quite a few people who were like, they're taking Latham. You know, the Chargers are going to take Latham at 5. That Harbaugh really wanted a run dominant tackle. You know, somebody who wouldn't have to be taught basically how to maul people at the line of scrimmage. And you know, I think I kind of put it out there in the probably last day before the draft that they were connected to it, got killed on it. And then I saw Daniel Jeremiah came out, same deal. And I thought, okay, well, at least we're hearing, you know, some of the same things. And then what happens? They go with Alt, who obviously is a more balanced, you know, pass protecting offensive lineman, natural left tackle. And that left Latham on the board. And I was trying to recall, I think I texted Joe. I was like, did we talk about Latham? Because I had heard that the Titans really, really liked Latham quite a bit. Joe and I were disagreeing about where he was on their board. I don't know if we ever really resolved that. But I thought at the very least, I knew it left a tackle for the Titans that they really liked. I mean, the thing about Latham, when I had the conversations I had about him potentially come off the board at 5, it was just that, like, hey, here's a guy that, especially from the physicality standpoint, it's really hard to teach an offensive lineman to be a nasty run blocker. And that if you can start with that kind of a base where someone just wants to do it, they want to be able to destroy you at the line of scrimmage, you can, you know, those guys can be taught, you know, how to be better pass blockers. There's more upside at times with those types of offensive linemen because it's very, very difficult to take someone who's a pass blocker, maybe has a little of that finesse in their game, and then teach them how to really be a run blocking tackle that is not only can do it, but really enjoys that part of the game. And I think that's what teams really liked about Latham, that it was something that it wasn't just capable of doing. It was something that he excelled at naturally and really seemed to like it. And, you know, so I thought it was a good pick for the Titans. I thought it fit. We'll see ultimately long-term where he ends up playing in terms of those tackle spots. But I know internally there were certainly some people on the staff who I think definitely had him as the number one tackle on the board. Now, was that the overall consensus? I don't know that I can say that, but I would just say that, I don't know if you guys have identified anybody particularly on the show, but I would say that some very important people to that offensive line construction, really liked Latham as the number one offensive tackle. And Joe and I argued about that, but I'm going to leave that.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. I mean, I don't know for sure. I would guess, like, if you made me bet right now money and they were both there, I would guess the Titans would have taken Alt, but I don't know that for sure. How about you? You had to bet on it.
I think it depends on who they would have listened to. And if son listens to father, I think that Latham ends up being the pick, even if both are there at number seven. I truly believe that. I think that had Alt been on the board, it's not a slam dunk that Alt would have been the choice at number seven. I think Bill Callahan really, really liked Latham. And again, you know, it's about building a consensus inside. It would have been a great problem to have. I will put it that way. But I will not say that, you know, if Titans fans are disappointed that that's the tackle they ended up with, I will just say that might have been the tackle you ended up with, regardless.
That would have been wild too. You know, and
I think it would have been shocking. But I'm just telling you, Joe. Like,
but
when
people would probably be more excited though, right? Because wouldn't they? Because it's like you had everybody available and you picked him.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I'm sure there was some element of disappointment. Oh, we lost our guy at five. Here was the thing. Like, when I don't want to say Alt's like a finesse player, but when I was talking about the Chargers potentially taking him at five, the argument in their building was, you know, and Harbaugh really wants to be able to run the ball, and he really wants players who, you know, again, I can't stress enough, really want to be able to do that as players. And I think the thought process internally with the Chargers, I think there were a couple of people who are like, you know, yes, Alt is the more balanced player. You know, he's more capable of stepping in and operating, you know, in the scheme, both pass and run. But, you know, I think it's just sometimes when you get guys that are maybe considered a little better pass blockers than they are run blockers, there are always going to be people in your building that see that as a little bit of a finesse aspect. And, you know, you ask what you want to, like, I remember Andre Dillard when, and I bring this up because Titans fans are experienced.
They know him well.
Yeah. Well, when he went through Philly, you know, I remember when Philly took him in the first and having conversations with people in their building, and they're like, yeah, you know, clearly far and away, he's a better pass blocker than he is a run blocker. Going to have to teach him how to be a run blocker. And it did not go well. And it was, you know, I think they saw the struggle. You know, you assume that Jeff Stoutland's going to be able to finish him off, you know, as a product and over time. And they just really never got there. And, you know, so I think the thing about Latham that clearly people inside the Chargers really liked and why he was, I think it was a close pick at five, which is because he's nasty. And it's like, hey, we can plug this guy in. He will absolutely pound the human being in front of him. And, you know, that leaves a lot of upside on the table, rounding him out as a pass blocker over time, which is a heck of a lot easier to do than taking a top level pass blocker and then going, okay, now we got to teach you how to really be a nasty run blocker. I think most teams do not want to be in that situation if they really want somebody who's going to have the kind of mentality that Latham brings to the table. So I think long term, people are going to be really happy with this pick. And I hope at some point, maybe there's a little more of a revelation about the conversation that was going on in the building. And I'm sure there are some people who are going to say, hey, look, if Alt had been there, here's how our board would have stacked up. And maybe for some people, it would have top of the board. I just don't think it was unanimous at all.
So let's go to the next pick, because you talk about another reach, but also a very talented player. We know about the DWI. What do you think of that? What did you hear about Tavondre Sweat leading into the draft as a prospect, and what people thought of him?
I was surprised by that pick, definitely, because it was, you know, I think there were a couple of things prior to even the DWI. Well, there was one thing in particular. It was sort of, yes, he is a massive, you know, run blocking defensive tackle who you can put in the middle of your schemes. Can be very difficult to move off the ball, you know, but that's what he's going to be. I think the question was like, is he going to weigh 400 pounds by his you know, third year in the league? Like, is it always going to be like a weight and conditioning management issue with him? Is he going to be able to pass the fitness test at the beginning of camp? That kind of a thing. And, you know, I think that concern was pretty consistent. And then look, it's not that he didn't win, you know, accolades. Everybody knows all the success that he had for Texas and, you know, how he was, you know, was Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, he was, you know, consensus top end defender for, you know, for the last couple of years there. But I do think conditioning was a big concern. That was prior to the DWI happening. And I think the question then becomes, like, you're right in the middle of this process, and then this happens. And I think that for some teams, I don't want to say he came off the board, but I think the teams that were looking at him saying, he's either a sub-board player for us, which means we set him to the side and we are not going to draft this guy until we think the risk and the reward intersect. And that's probably in like the fourth round. Whereas other teams, I think, maybe valued what he brought to the table a little bit more. Like, he's the quintessential. I remember years ago when I was talking to Bart Scott, who was obviously the ex-Jets Ravens linebacker, about Ray Lewis. And Bart Scott made this comment where he's like, you know, you guys all love Ray, but you always forget I'm the one with the big fat, you know, guard sitting on top of me, you know, while Ray runs around and makes tackles. It's like, you know, basically his point was you need somebody to take on and occupy blockers so that your linebackers are free to do things. That's this guy, right? He's going to eat up a couple of offensive linemen. And I mean, if you're projecting like where the Titans want this to go. And so he's going to make the job easier for the linebackers that are behind him. And he's going to make the job more difficult for, you know, offensive coordinators who are trying to scheme to get him out of the way. But yeah, you know, it's a concern, you know, that whole deal happens the day before he visits the Titans. And I think this is one of those picks where you just have to trust Rand Carthon and kind of see where it goes. But I would be lying if I said that other NFL teams weren't very concerned about long-term conditioning with him. And then, you know, something like this happening in the middle of the draft process. As you can expect, there are some extremely negative reactions when, you know, an arrest happens right in the middle, when someone's supposed to be, should be on their very best, you know, behavior going through the process. So, it was, it raised an eyebrow, definitely, when it happened. I literally remember when the pick came off the board, I was like, wow, like audibly said, wow, because I just, after talking to a number of teams, it felt like it was going to be a guy who probably fell in the draft process rather than rose or whatever, however you want to really term it. And I guess Rand really loves him, and we're going to have to see whether he can make it on that.
Charles Robinson, our guest here on Robbie and Rex. So, Charles, what did you make of six quarterbacks going in the top 12, including Michael Penix being drafted by the Atlanta Falcons, who just paid Kirk Cousins a boatload of money?
Well, it was everything that everybody said about quarterbacks getting pushed up the board. I think there's an element of truth to that, but I will say this class was so unique that, you know, you had a couple of these guys, Penix, Nix, you know, even Jaden Daniels. You're talking about like guys who are like 24 years old, more equipped, I think, at that age, particularly given the number of starts under their belts to step in and play right away. And so I think that element of availability is probably underappreciated a little bit by us as reporters. If you're the Denver Broncos and you're sitting there and you're going, okay, so we got Stidham, we got Zach Wilson. This really is not, it was funny. We talked about this on the show last week, and I was like, everybody's asking what are the Broncos going to do with their quarterback spot? And it was like literally the next day or later that day, they end up addressing the depth with Wilson, but no one believed that's taking them out of the market for a quarterback. And I think Sean Payton actually wanted to kill Joel Klatt, because Joel Klatt was like running around telling everybody, you know, how perfect Nix was for his system. And Sean Payton's like, dude, like somebody shut Joel Klatt up, because we're trying to get this guy and we don't want anybody to know that, you know, how perfect he is a fit for us. So So, you know, I don't think I'm completely blown away by the six guys going in the top 12, given that I think a lot of it, or at least some of it, was driven by the fact that you had a couple of guys with so much experience. The Penix pick to Atlanta, I was floored. Like, when it happened, I couldn't even believe it. We were literally doing a live draft show, and I had two guys text me the pick probably 2 minutes before it hit anywhere, including the internet. And I looked at it, and I was like, I'm not saying this out loud.
You guys are trolling me.
Literally, we're on the show, and they're like, and I had been tipping picks. Like, I had a really good first round of the draft. I probably tipped like 15, 16 picks before it was even on the internet. But that one, when I saw it, I remember the first response I had to the guy who was texting me, like, all caps, what? Like, question marks. And I'm staring at my phone, and like, we're sitting there, and on the show, they're like, do you, what's going on? What do you have? And I'm like, I'm not going to say this one out loud. Like, I don't think this is, in my mind, I'm like, I don't want to be this idiot who, like, there's some clip floating around out there where I connect this guy to a team that doesn't make sense. And as I looked at it, I'm like, there's clearly a trade. Like, okay, fine. He's taken eighth. That's wild. But who traded in, and they just don't know the team or whatever.
There you go.
And no, lo and behold, it's the Falcons. And yeah, I was as floored as everybody else. I couldn't believe it. I let it play out on our live, you know, show. And it was funny because by the time the pick came in, everybody on set went nuts. And what was really unique about the situation was the Falcons worked really hard after that to make sure everybody understood the why. And the pick was doubly confusing because people started to show that clip of Terry Fontenot, the GM, talking to Arthur Blank, right? Where he's kind of demonstrative and people are like, oh, it looks like Terry's in some trouble. Like,
Terry, what are you doing?
Yeah, but the funny thing was, it was total BS. Like, Blank was sitting with Terry Fontenot, Raheem Morris, prior to the pick being made. They're sitting all together. They're going to make the pick. They call Michael Penix, and after Raheem and Terry on the phone, they hand it to Arthur Blank. And Arthur Blank's like, hey, you know, looking forward to you creating continuing your outstanding career. We appreciate you. Like, Blank was hyped. He was totally on board with this whole thing. And so, you know, the Falcons did a good job afterward of trying to explain the why behind it, which was, I think Blank was extremely frustrated with the Desmond Ridder experience. I think there was an element of him being sold on this guy being able to develop into their starter. It didn't happen. And I think he was just tired of going through the juggling at quarterback. And yes, they just played paid Kirk Cousins, you know, $100 million guaranteed over the first 2 years of that deal. But in Blank's mind, and I don't think he's the only owner to think about this, you know, when the Chiefs took Mahomes, and now it seems like, you know, people completely forget how crazy that pick was at the time. It was such a surprise. And, you know, the Chiefs not only, you know, moved up to make the pick, but then, like, people were completely confused by it. I think their grades got tanked after the draft. People were like, what the heck? This was so high for Mahomes. This was way up the board. What are you doing? You already have Alex Smith. And then they sat him behind Alex Smith for a year. And I do think it was a really good thing for Mahomes. And I don't think that's lost on Blank that it was somewhat a similar scenario between the two players. Obviously, Penix is a lot older. But so I think some of that, it was just being prepared. And when I talk to people in the organization, they're like, it feels so good to have quarterback worked out at least for another 5-6 years right now. Like, that's the thought process. Hey, well, you know, Kirk's going to play the next couple of years. Maybe it extends beyond that, but at the very least, we know what we're doing after Kirk. And you guys can be mad at us because we could be starting a quarterback at 26 down the line, whatever. They're not worried about that. And, you know, so I think that really played into it, this idea of just squaring it away, being happy that they know they have Kirk, they know they have a plan after Kirk, and they truly believe in him, that being Penix. They went out there and worked him out in Seattle in a private workout, and they were absolutely floored. They had him number two on their board, on their quarterback board, behind Caleb. And I think he was four overall in their stack, next to Caleb, Jaden, it was Penix, and then Marvin Harrison Jr. And so, they really valued the talent, and they're just like, screw it. We're going to take the pick, and we're not going to worry about what other people think about it, and we'll be, laughing 2 years from now when he steps into the starting line, or earlier if something happens with Kirk. And, so that explains it. So, Joe, I know you're upset with the pick. I get it. I totally got it.
It's just stupid.
It looks stupid now. There's no question. But down the line, our opinions could definitely change. And
that never happens.
Rodgers, when Jordan Love was chosen, that looked stupid, right, at the time. We're like, why wouldn't you use the asset? Rodgers can use this asset now. You got to win Super Bowls now. What are you doing? That looked stupid at the time. It aged better during the course of last season. Rodgers being selected looked stupid. When they had Favre, these moves, I'm telling you, they the ones that even work out, people forget they looked really stupid when they happened.
Yeah, but I hear you. But the difference is they had just, like, the huge difference with Alex Smith. Everybody knew that it wasn't too much longer. Like, they just paid Cousins. I mean maybe. So, even with the Packers, Charles, I can make the case that you're right. It looks better now, but what if they did give him an asset? Would they have they have another Lombardi?
Yeah.
I mean, like,
absolutely. That's a completely fair argument and a completely fair reason to be upset about it. Maybe Atlanta and Cousins are a step closer if you take an edge or you take, Byron Murphy or whatever, defensive pick ultimately would have been. I think it would have been Latu, by the way, which I probably would have questioned that pick given the potential neck issue with him down the line. But, I think they were looking at edge rusher if they hadn't taken Penix there. But, I get it. I understand all of it. It's a lot of money. But at the end of the day, if your owner's like, I don't care that I just paid, guaranteed $100 million to this other guy, and he wants you, he's completely endorsing drafting a quarterback and then sitting on him. What are you going to do? If it works out down the line, they'll look smarter. If for some reason that's another thing too, that people, what if there's a coaching change? Like, what if they just completely are awful next season or the season after? And we see coaches get fired after 1-2 seasons now. Or Terry Fontenot gets fired. I mean, then that can dramatically change what your plans are for Penix. So I get all those arguments. It's just, at the end of the day, the owner clearly was on board with it. They assess the talent the way they assess the talent, and it's a very unorthodox way to, put a team together when you have a premium pick like that. Now we get a chance to write about it, watch it, and see how it unfolds over the next couple years, and you can keep being a Spartan homer and endorsing Kirk as much as you want, Joe.
He does love it, Kirk Cousins. I mean, I do like it. Kirk. All right. Well, we'll talk next week as the schedule is. We can talk 18 game schedule next week. So real fast, Charles, Tyler Boyd, looks like there's interest from multiple teams, including the Titans. What do you think he has left in him? How do you think that plays out?
Well, I mean, if he comes in, that gives you four. Depending on how you feel about Treylon Burks, it gives you that fourth receiver in the depth chart that I think the Titans are looking for. And, not having the ability, I think, to address it in the draft, which, I think could have potentially happened. It's draft just didn't fall the way that would have allowed it to happen. I think he's a quality, veteran addition who he's not going to be a top two receiver for you. He's, probably borderline, he's a solid three, right? I wonder what's going on with Treylon Burks. So is this just it? It would be a nice addition, I think, for the Titans as a veteran capable guy who's going to go out there and can catch, 50 balls for you, can put up, 500-600 receiving yards for you. And, there's going to be a number of teams, I think, that are in on him, not just the Chargers and Titans. So economical, and they're, this is where now all those free agents that have kind of sat now that the draft's over and teams weren't able to address some of those needs are going to start to pick guys up. I think they have a good shot at him. Let's wait and see what other visits he ends up taking, because I don't think it's just going to be the Titans and Chargers.
Charles, great stuff as always. Thanks so much for taking time to be with us this morning. And we will talk to you next week, my friend.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. We'll take your reaction to what Charles had to say, 615-737-1025. I think some particularly interesting stuff on Latham and Sweat there as well, which we'll react to next. Robbie and Rexro, 1025-1063, the game.
I thought it was a good pick for the Titans. I thought it fit. We'll see ultimately long-term where he ends up playing in terms of those tackle spots, but I know internally there were certainly some people on the staff who I think definitely had him as the number one tackle on their board. Now, was that the overall consensus? I don't know that I can say that, but I would just say that, I don't know if you guys have identified anybody particularly on the show, but I would say that some very important people to that offensive line construction really liked Latham as the number one offensive tackle. And Joe and I argued about that.
That's Charles Robinson with us in the last segment. Appreciate him taking time to be on with us, as he does every Thursday morning on the program. Interesting stuff on J.C. Latham there. And according to Charles, if some people had their way in the Titans organization, even if Alt was available at 7, Titans may have still gone with Latham. Apparently, and look, he made no secret about it there. Bill Callahan, big fan of J.C. Latham, yeah. Clearly.
Well, again, go back to Dinah Russini tweeting the instant that they picked J.C. Latham that he was Bill Callahan's favorite player. Not just, I mean, I guess Bill Callahan probably doesn't have like a favorite receiver, so okay, fine. This is Bill Callahan's favorite safety in the draft. But still, she tweeted,
of all the kickers ranked, this is the number one that I have.
Here are Bill Callahan's top 9 long snappers in the NFL. No, but she tweeted right when the pick happened that J.C. Latham was Bill Callahan's favorite, which Big Joe took as they had a press conference right at that moment. So, who's your favorite in the draft?
The one we just took.
Yeah, the guy we just took. So, see, her knowing that information means that he felt that way before he had an idea if the Titans were going to have him. I think we can safely say that now. So, yeah, I think Charles's reporting turns up the same thing. And I'd love to know. I'd love to know the reality of Alt and Latham both being on the board and what the Titans would have done. I have no problem listening to your great, legendary offensive line coach on an offensive lineman.
No.
If you're not, I mean, what would you not want to do that? I'm not saying, okay, everybody else get out of the room, shut up. Bill, who are we picking? But his voice would have a lot of weight, wouldn't it?
What do you think the reaction would have been in this hypothetical world where Alt's available at 7 and Latham's available at 7 and they go Latham over Alt?
Well, I think the initial reaction would have been more of a meltdown.
I agree.
However, you'd also would have no doubt that that's true. Right?
That he was their top guy.
So that would turn into, first of all, I believe that the Olu and Latham comparison is going to be valid moving forward because he was there and he's more of a left tackle who played left tackle in college. But obviously the Alt Latham thing would be the total comparison.
Oh, yeah.
So I think the most interesting thing we got from Charles there, and his segment's always great, as Chip from Mount Juliet brought up, you know, Charles, he said Charles and Kaharski, 2 best analysts we have in any show on this program, on this station, not program. So we're
very fortunate.
We have some great people coming on the show. Charles is always great. And I think the most interesting thing he said was that teams look at it like if you can get the grind, because that's not how you think of the NFL today, is
no.
it? You don't think of it like, oh, you got to get the guy who can run block first, then you can deal with the pass protection.
Right.
Boy, that Andre Dillard example is pretty compelling, though. It's one
now, granted,
guy.
He couldn't pass block either, so
well,
we found that out eventually too.
That's right. But even last year, Randy Carthon's like he has traits that are rare. He had quick feet. He fit the profile. He was a great pass blocker in college. That's just a really interesting idea that if you can find the nasty physical guy, it's easier to go pass block. A lot of people, I think, would think the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm sure within the NFL, you could probably find some people in different teams who would argue the other side of that. But that's very interesting. I'll say this, too. Some people might immediately think of Taylor Lewan in that regard because Taylor Lewan, I think, was the prototypical tall, lean, athletic, quick-footed, lateral quickness, pass blocker. But Taylor Lewan had the nasty, too.
Yep.
Taylor Lewan was a terrific run blocker, second level. He was a
– run left?
Really, Taylor Lewan was a much better player than a lot of Titans fans seem to want to admit. Not all, but some, I think, just didn't like him, and so they didn't realize how good he was.
Five sacks to Chandler Jones.
Well, there is that, too. Now back in the game, number 77. What's Taylor Lewan going to do Friday night, by the way, for an encore?
I don't know.
You get the whole family slamming stuff. Anyway,
the sweat.
Interesting stuff from Robinson.
Very, very interesting stuff. The sweat stuff I found to be interesting, too. I think it's pretty clear Charles thinks Titans reach there. Like a lot of people think the Titans reach there at number 38 overall with sweat. We've talked about the weight issue, right? Like, you're not going to be able to play as many snaps as you need to play when you're taking it 38 overall if you're 380 pounds in the NFL. So can you get down? Can there be, you know, a discipline to do that if you're Devondre Sweat? But the general reaction from the Sweat pick is across the league that the Titans probably reached at number 38 overall. What do you make of what Charles had to say about him and how this pick, if you're the Titans, ends up being worthy of the number 38 spot, given everything that's around Devondre Sweat right now?
This is going to be a pick that I think has a quick return. In other words, I understand he's just going to be a rookie this year, but I think we're going to know pretty quickly here. All this attention on all of this, rookie minicamps next week.
Yep.
How's he look next week? What's he doing right now? Hey, man, I can tell you right now, give me a good week of eating apples and raspberries and protein and not eating a bunch of carbs and stuff like that. I mean, I could give you I could come up with about a 7 to 10 pound difference in myself in a week, one way or the other. I can easily gain a few. I can lose a couple. Right now, what's he doing? And I think that's the thing. It really is that. It's weight. And it's going to be – and listen to what Charles said. He's talking 400 pounds by year three. Can you sustain – first of all, right away, you would think that he would be getting in tip-top shape, and this is how it's got to be. And if that's not the case, that's concerning. And then there's still the question of, are you going to sustain it year over year over year? If he does, I think he's – terrific. I think that pick is going to look good because I think he's more than just a dude who just throws his helmet down and occupies two people. I think he makes plays if he does that, but it is a big if.
What if he comes into camp and he's 375 and he can't play more than 15 snaps in a game? Like, I guess my question on that is, how much grace do you give Carthon and the Titans until that gets figured out or until you realize, man, how did you not see this in the draft process?
Well, that's the thing. Everybody sees it as an issue. So that means they are immediately failing. He and they are immediately failing. So that's what I'm saying. I think this is going to be a really quick evaluation. It doesn't mean that, okay, after this year of embarrassment, then he gets himself in order. I mean, that's possible. But I think it's going to be a really quick evaluation. Football, another F words, who has a terrible profile pic on his account. I'm probably going to sue. He had a good, despite that, he had a good tweet. This is his tweet. He says, I think sometimes we, as in Titans fans, fanalists, local media, can quickly get lost in the sauce. For example, setting rookie expectations, and I think he talked on his podcast with Brandon Gall about, you know, the expectations for snap counts, and he had a really good graph here of rookie snap counts compared to later. I mean, Chris Jones, 36, is a rookie, and then in a lot of cases, you're lower as a rookie and you go up. Jeff Simmons was 33 as a rookie last year. He was 54 now. Jeff Simmons is a rookie. A little bit deceiving because he had a couple games where it was just a couple snaps early because he was coming off the ACL.
And
but still,
Jerome Casey was still here, but yes.
Yes, that's true. But still, the point being, there are plenty of these guys who come in and don't play huge snap numbers as rookies. The difference here with Sweat and some of them is that there's a huge void. There's a need. So You got to be in shape. I agree that if he doesn't play, ridiculous snap numbers, and then some people are just going to react, say, bust, all that stuff. But I think if he is in shape, then he will. I think he'll play a pretty good snap count with this team. I just look at what they have, and of course they want to be able to rotate bodies in there and things like that, but he should be an important player in this defense. He should be a huge key to this defense as a rookie, which if he is, then we'll look at it and say, oh, 38, not bad.
We'll have more of your thoughts on the Titans coming up next. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Also got some tickets to give away coming up. Stay tuned for that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to see Neil Young at First Bank Amphitheater on Wednesday, May the 8th. Be caller 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Neil Young at First Bank Amphitheater on Wednesday, May the 8th. Taking your thoughts on the Titans on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Indy Ben has weighed in a couple times on the text line. Very happy with the pick of Latu. At what pick were they? 15? Is that what they were?
Yeah, right in there.
Right in there somewhere.
Yeah.
And has been barking back and forth at you. Says, quote, "I'm shocked, Joe, that that's your Titans take on Sweat. WHMR at its best."
Ooh, he's still barking at me. Of course, I just had to troll Indy Ben because here's Indy Ben's side on Latu. The whole neck issue has been completely overblown. The guy played rugby for a full year, same year. One doctor advised him to retire. Then he went to dominate UCLA. Colts seem to have gotten their top pass rusher along with a potential steal in A.D. Mitchell in round two. And so I just went all caps. I'm shocked this is your take, Indy Ben. So
now you're being a homer for Tavondre Sweat and the Titans.
I felt like my take on Tavondre Sweat has been and was there balanced. We talked a lot about the weight. I don't know how that's going to go. That's why it's a reach. The maturity, the confidence that he's going to do everything you need to do to maximize himself as a player. He understands it. You look at what he said right after the draft. He's like, if I'm 355, I'm in the Hall of Fame. So he understands it. That also seems to be an understanding that it won't be easy, right? Yeah. He didn't guarantee he's going to the Hall of Fame. He said, if I can do this, I'll be in the Hall of Fame. So I don't know why that's WHMR, Indy Ben, but I was just trolling you. I think, look, if Sweat does it, I don't know about Hall of Fame. He's going to be good. If you watch any college football at all, he's going to be good.
Bradford says, I understand that the NFL is a different caliber of play, but how do we not have any idea of these answers by looking at how Sweat played in previous years? And did Texas Sweat eat bigger the better? Like, how do you like the college part of this, does that not forecast the type of work ethic that he's going to have in the NFL? Always.
If he truly was playing in the 380s, I promise you that nobody on Texas' staff was like, yes, another biscuit, Tavondre. A
lot of barbecue over here.
That's not enough sausage gravy. Come here. Let's pile it on. So that shows you how athletic he is and how good he is to overcome that. But again, that, like you said, Bradford, that's college. That's college football. And this is the NFL. So there's no answer. Again, like, there's no answer because, like, the Isaiah Wilson comparison is going to be obvious there. It's some very different stuff, and there's a lot to it that's not at all the same. But he got money, and he got to a new city, and it did not go well. And like I said yesterday on Jared versus Joe, a fabricated win for Jared, because Caroline sometimes has to give him some wins. Look, if you put me, when I was 22 years old, in a city with a whole bunch of money, it would have been like the reality show would have been like, it wouldn't even have been able to air on TV, okay?
You'd have been Jersey Shore.
Right. I mean, it's so, like, let's be real about being a young person and having to deal with that. It's not easy. Now, you have a lot of people supporting you and a lot of people who have invested a lot in you, and so it's very incumbent upon them to not let things go off the rails. But they did everything they could with Isaiah Wilson. They had players on the team trying to, like, set alarms. I mean, I could tell you all this stuff that I haven't written about Isaiah Wilson and what the Titans are trying to do to avoid all the disaster that was happening, and they could not avoid it. They were on the Titanic, and they just were like, well,
you got to get off.
Exactly. Do whatever you can do. So you cannot make it happen. Ultimately, it comes down to these guys deciding that they're going to do it.
Why was Jersey Shore the first reality show that came to mind for me?
I don't know, but that's a pretty good one. I would have appalled Snooki at that age.
Bottom line is, there's a lot riding on Sweat in terms of if he does the right things and if he can get down to 355, 360, obviously stay out of trouble off the field. I do think he's got a chance to be a pretty big game changer for the defense in year one. Like, that big of a dude. I mean, even if he's 350, that's still a gigantic human being. That big of a dude eating up that much space on the defensive front has to do nothing but help Jeffrey Simmons, Harold Landry, and the other edge rusher spot that still terrifies me if I'm a Titans fan, that they got to find a way to overcome. But if you can get Sweat doing what he's supposed to be doing, that's a big deal to have on your defensive front. But it is a heck of a risk for Rand Carthon heading into this. There's no doubt about it.
Right. And, again, I just think of all these draft picks, you know, you've got – there's opportunity for several of them. And Latham is the first-round pick, and so he needs to start and be good right away. But I just think the need on the defense is such that we're going to find out real fast. Got some interesting text. How about this one? Texas barbecue is more fattening than Tennessee barbecue. Is that right?
I could see that. I don't know why that would be, but going for some – having been a pretty good aficionado of Texas barbecue when I'm down there, it's a different thing.
Measuring cheek size. Nice. Well, I could make Tennessee barbecue as fattening as any barbecue.
Sure.
But I guess – I did go to Pecan Lodge in Dallas one time and had like a beef bone that was like – it must have been like 8,000 calories just for that alone. Forget the sides.
Hard Eight barbecue in Dallas. There's all kinds of places in Dallas that are pretty good.
Yeah. Former fatty here. This is another texter. All he has to do is chill on the bread, candy, and sugary drinks for a few weeks. He'll be fine. Sounds easy.
Chill out on the candy, Tavondre.
There's some bad words being thrown at Indy Ben, by the way. I was just trolling
Indy Ben
you, Indy
is
Ben.
Is catching some strays.
Yeah, Indy Ben
on the text line right now.
Yeah, but I appreciate him listening and, you know, making his voice heard. I don't know. The Latu thing is interesting. I think he's a really good player.
That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back live from Bridgestone Arena tomorrow in advance of Game 6 between the Preds and Canucks. Chase and Big Joe is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
About Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.